3, verses 2 through 12. This is the Word of God. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heir together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. And although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. You may be seated. Through the church. I mean, did you hear that in our passage? Through the church. This passage should act like a bracing plunge into a mountain lake for us, waking us up each day and launching us into the world that loves God, that God loves, to share this mystery of His great love and mercy through Jesus Christ. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Through the church. So is that how you thought of yourself when you woke up this morning? Part of an eternal plan by the infinitely wise God, one that reveals His wisdom to the angels in heaven and even to the demons of hell. Now, God makes His wisdom known through the church, through people like me. Is that what you thought about yourself when you woke up this morning? Nonetheless, this is who we are. And from time to time, it is a good and necessary thing that we should devote our worship to exploring who we are. The Bellingham Covenant chapter of the Church of the Living Christ, which we'll do today. Now, if you're new to BCC or if you're visiting with us this morning, I'm going to ask that you do your best to follow along as we talk about a vitality process that we've been engaged with for a few years now, a process that we hope, with God's help, will lead us toward being the absolutely best church that we can possibly be, a church that lives up into the faith that God has placed in us. And then in any case, all of us could use a reminder of some of the key points of that vitality process, one that began 5 years ago as Bellingham Covenant participated in a covenant workshop called Veritas. Now, do you remember that word, Veritas? How many of you remember actually attending that workshop? Ah, okay, great. That was more robust than I was picturing. And even so, it's still only about half of us in the room were there that day, which makes a relook at it all the more important. Veritas, the Latin word that we translate into English as truth, is the foundation of our denomination's congregational vitality movement. And it's built on this idea that in local congregations, our vitality is connected to our willingness to tell ourselves the truth about ourselves. So let me ask you this question. Why are there so many dying churches in America today? Every year, more than 4,000 churches in America close their doors. They turn out the lights and they close their doors. The end. And for every church that closes, dozens and dozens more are just holding on. They're down to their last handful of white-haired stalwarts. So why is that? Well, very complex question, isn't it? But here's one thing I can tell you with certainty. Churches of all traditions, of all ethnicities, in all locations across America are dead or dying because they didn't tell themselves the truth 20 years ago. So vital churches don't just wake up one morning dead. You know, it happens over decades because no one noticed the decline or said anything when the kingdom trajectory of their church turned south. Or maybe everyone noticed and it just wasn't something they could safely talk about in their church. They didn't or they couldn't tell themselves the truth. And now those churches are closed. And their opportunity to display the wisdom of God is lost forever. That's why Bellingham Covenant Church, here we want to tell ourselves the truth about our congregation, about our church. And so here is a very brief review of that Veritas approach to church vitality. It begins with this prayer. We pray that every covenant church is a healthy, missional church. We pray that. A key piece of vocabulary, healthy, missional. So let's unpack what it means. Healthy, missional. By healthy, we mean pursuing Christ. And by missional, we mean pursuing Christ's priorities in the world. Healthy. Pursuing Christ. So understanding what it means to pursue Christ, it's not rocket science. It's just what we would imagine it to mean. You know, going deeper and deeper and deeper into the heart of our Lord. Getting to know Jesus better by reading His Word, by studying His Word like we did during the 20-some weeks of our series in the Sermon on the Mount. Developing rich lives of prayer, each of us individually and corporately as a church. Discovering and using our spiritual gifts. Becoming more generous, more and more generous with our time, with our talents, with our treasures. Pursuing Christ Himself does these things. It changes who we are, and we become more like Him. So, yes, to be a healthy Christian and to be a healthy congregation means that we pursue Jesus individually and together with every fiber of our being. What about missional? Pursuing Christ's priorities in the world. Well, that's not an elusive concept either. Again, it's just what we would imagine. Following Jesus and His heart into the places that He loves. Caring about lost people and sharing the good news of the gospel with them. Offering help to people with needs and people who are helpless. Offering justice to the oppressed, sanctuary to the alien in our midst. So, not hoarding Jesus for ourselves, but always looking to take His love outside of our doors. So, there again, there's nothing here that we don't understand. Pursuing Christ's priorities in the world. So, the key word then is pursuing. And let's be honest, we all know the difference between having a casual interest in something and pursuing it. This lioness is pursuing something. I mean, look at the relentless energy in her body, her focus, her passion in this pursuit. So nothing else matters to her at this moment than the object of her pursuit. Now, generally, cats, large and small, don't like water. But this water is no barrier to this lioness because she is pursuing something. This lioness is not. This lioness might be a great metaphor for the church in America today. Unless, of course, she's just resting up so that she can pursue again. Because it's all about pursuit. Pursuing Christ. Relentlessly striving to know Him better as individuals and as a congregation. To go deeper and deeper into His heart. And then pursuing His priorities in the world. Devoting our energies, all of them, to following His heart into the needs of the world, near and far, healthy and missional. Now, some covenant churches are healthy, missional congregations. When the covenant started, Veritas started offering this workshop to churches 11 years ago or so, we figured that almost 20% of all covenant churches were healthy, missional congregations with a fire in their bellies to be Christ's church in this world. Now, on one hand, 20%, that is good news because that's way above the norm for all Christian churches in North America across all traditions. National studies show that only about 10% of all Christian churches in America could be described as healthy and missional. So, bravo for the covenant. We're at 20%. On the other hand, this is such bad news. Only one out of every five covenant churches can be described as pursuing Christ and pursuing His priorities in the world. So, what about the other 80% of covenant churches? So, besides healthy missional, what other kinds of churches are there? Well, there are stable churches, critical moment churches, which are those churches in great decline but with a closing window of opportunity to change things around. And then there are at-risk churches, the all-but-dead churches that can survive for 20 years, but they're really dead church walking. So we call this diagram the Veritas architecture. And it tells a hard truth. 80% of covenant churches across America are in decline in one element of it or another. Now, we know that of these four types of churches in the architecture, healthy missional, that's the goal for all of us. Being the kind of church that all disciples of Jesus should want their church to be, healthy and missional. But of those three remaining types on the diagram, which would you guess or suppose would be the most dangerous place to be? Okay, that's right. Stable. Stable is the most dangerous type of church to resemble. Now, I know this is counterintuitive. Stable is such a good word when we use it in other contexts. But in regard to church health, stable is not a flattering description. So maybe a better word to have used here, I lobbied for this in the beginning of Veritas, but you can see how much weight I pulled. Maybe a better word would have been stagnant, more descriptive. That would help us see why stable is such a dangerous place for a church to be. Why? Well, because critical moment churches and at-risk churches are really just subsets of stable churches. They're the life cycle of a stable church. A stable church is a church in decline. It just doesn't know it yet. Things look pretty good by most measurements. People are generally happy with the church. And they're satisfied. They like their programs. They pay their bills. They have new people coming, you know, occasionally. It just doesn't feel like my church anymore. See, that's how stable churches respond to change. And so ministry risk is very rarely taken. Growth is resisted. And the way we've always done it is protected in stable churches. Now, stable churches would say that they've just plateaued. And, you know, that's okay. That's all right with them. But stable churches are in decline. They just don't notice it yet. And before they're even aware of what is happening, stable churches become critical moment churches, and then even at-risk churches, unless the decline is arrested. So, why am I spending so much time talking about stable churches? Well, it's because of Pulse. Do you recognize that name, Pulse? Pulse is a church health inventory for covenant churches. It's designed to help churches know which of these categories best describes them: healthy missional, stable, critical moment, or at risk. Pulse is built on what we call the 10 healthy missional markers. Healthy missional churches across all geographic and cultural and demographic categories share these 10 traits. And as I name them, remember that the strength comes from the adjective. It's not just that we value God's word, for example. It's that God's word is central to us. So here they are, the 10. The centrality of the word of God in our life together. A life-transforming walk with Jesus. Intentional evangelism. Transforming our communities through ministries of mercy, compassion, and justice. A global perspective and engagement. Compelling Christian community. Heartfelt worship. Sacrificial and generous living and giving. Leadership that is godly. And then number 10, organizational structures that actually produce fruit for God's kingdom. So these 10 healthy missional markers, living into them intensely is what separates healthy missional churches from all the other types. And Pulse is a tool that measures how intensely any given church is living into these markers. So, Pulse survey, as we did it as in the church, it gathered our data and our answers to a carefully crafted set of survey questions and even some open-ended questions like, do you remember this? What is the greatest strength of Bellingham Covenant Church? Or if you could change one thing about Bellingham Covenant Church, what would it be? How many of you remember actually participating in a Pulse survey? Okay, so lots of us got our thinking and our impressions into the Pulse survey. Then a team of outside eyes assessed our data, compared it with that of other covenant churches, and then made a set of observations and recommendations for our future vitality. And we've completed the Pulse survey twice, first in 2014 and then again in 2017. How many of you participated in it both times? Okay, yeah, again, quite a large percentage of us have participated in this. Our first report, I'm told, placed us squarely in the stable category of churches. In fact, we were only a very small tick away from being a critical moment church in 2014, which I'm told caught our attention back then. In 2014, our aggregate Pulse score, 319 or 3.19, put us into the stable category of churches, but just barely. We were very close to being a critical moment church at that time, in which decline had become serious enough that we were facing a closing window of opportunity to reverse the decline. In other words, we were on the brink of serious decline in 2014 by our own responses to Pulse. Of the 10 healthy missional markers, we resembled then a healthy missional church in only one of the markers. Five of our markers resembled those of stable churches, and then our four lowest scoring markers actually lined up with the vitality of critical moment churches. Now, the good news was that none of our scores matched at-risk churches. Well, taken altogether, so our responses to the Pulse inventory placed us as a stable church in 2014, but only just barely. That got our attention. Now, being barely stable wasn't good enough for us, so we got to work. And through the leadership of Pastor Paul and our leadership team, increasing our vitality became a serious priority at all levels of our life together. Staff positions were created in key areas to facilitate our movement toward being healthy missional. Three new positions in all, and the budget increases that came with them. So now, 3 years into that process then, we did Pulse again to see if we'd made any progress. And the good news is that we had made progress. Our overall score went up from 3.19, barely stable, to 3.41, which is almost a healthy missional score. And that is a huge leap for a church to make in 3 years. And now we have three markers in the healthy missional category instead of just one. And only one marker remains in the critical moment category. So is it a surprise to anyone that this remains our lowest marker? Intentional evangelism. And are we good with that? Is that okay with us? To say yes would mean we're pretty stable. And then still, none of our markers ended up in the at-risk category. Every single marker, though, improved its strength level, which is amazing. Every single one went up in terms of vitality. So in short, from 2014 to 2017, we pursued Christ. And we pursued His priorities in the world as a congregation with more vitality in every way that Pulse can measure it. That is a wonderful thing. Now, we still measure as a stable church. But 2 years ago, when we did Pulse the second time, we were trending toward becoming a healthy missional church, which I think is a tremendous success story in Covenant Vitality Movement. The question is, are we still making progress? Because make no mistake, stable has a gravitational pull towards, on a church towards settling for peace and for comfort. So is that happening to us now? We have to tell ourselves the truth about ourselves. Now let me come at this from another direction just for a moment to make sure we understand what this means for a church that wants to have impact for Christ in our world, which I know we do. So this is a church life cycle curve from birth on one side, the far left side, to eventual death on the other side, which happens in most, if not all, congregations over time. The left side of the curve represents vital churches, alive churches, and the right side represents churches in decline, dying churches. So healthy missional churches are on the left side of this curve with an upward trajectory, always pressing forward, always pursuing Christ as a community of believers and pursuing His priorities in the world as a workforce in His name. There's a fire in the belly of healthy missional churches to advance God's kingdom. But along the way, as always happens, as elements of decline creep in, and you can see on that dotted line, moments where the vitality begins to trail off, This happens in every church's life because of this gravitational pull toward being stable. Healthy missional churches notice when there's a loss of momentum in their life together, and they address it, and they turn that moment of decline back into an opportunity to refocus their energies and their efforts in being healthy and missional. Now notice that stable churches, can you read that? It's tiny, I know, but stable churches aren't resting on the top of this life stage cycle diagram. They're not plateaued, even though they think they are. Stable churches are on the decline side of this life cycle diagram. Stable churches are in decline, and if they recognize it, and if they own it, and become determined not to continue down the downward trajectory, there's a relatively short pathway back over to the healthy missional side of the curve. We call it renewal. If a church wakes up when they get to the critical moment stage, the pathway is longer and more difficult. It's no longer renewal. Now it's going to take something closer to rehabilitation. And it's even possible for an at-risk church to live again, but it requires nothing short of the death of the old church so that something new might be born in its place. It requires rebirth at that stage, something many dying churches are not willing to enter into. So, if a church is going to cheat death, it must catch its own decline as early as possible and take the necessary steps to regain a healthy missional posture as soon as possible. That's the way to go. Now, again, from where I stand during this time of our pastoral transition, the big question that I would like to pose in front of you is, are we still trending toward healthy missional? Is that still what we want as we get closer to calling a new pastor? Are we still willing to step further and further into the uncomfortable but exciting world of pursuing Christ and his priorities? Or are we drifting back in toward the familiar, the comfortable, back into the heart of stable? In its simplest terms, this is all about what I call the fire in the belly factor. How hot do our coals burn for pursuing Christ and pursuing his priorities in the world? In stable churches, the coals have dimmed. And although there's still some heat, it's too weak to overcome the natural human impulse for peace and rest and comfort. The comfort of being our church instead of being his church. So as we're poised for a new era here at BCC, how hot is the fire in our belly for pursuing Christ and pursuing his priorities in the world? Is that what drives us? Is that what drives our ministry priorities? What drives our time and our energy? What drives our giving and our budget? Is there a fire in our belly for pursuing Christ and pursuing his priorities in the world, for being healthy and missional? See, these are the questions, these are the questions that are brought to the front by this incredible opportunity we have to pay off our mortgage by the 23rd of next month. The dream of the donors is to help us move into the future without the burden of a mortgage. So, in what ways could we better pursue Christ and better pursue his priorities in the world without having to send off $100,000 every year to pay off the building? That's the question. And in truth, the real opportunity in front of us is not just ridding ourselves of a mortgage. The real opportunity, without that burden, we have the opportunity to be more healthy and more missional. Or we can see it as a stable church would, a chance to save ourselves some money going forward. It's all about the fire in our bellies. So this is the kind of conversation we have to continue to engage in if we want to keep on trending toward being a healthy, missional church. Now, we're a stable church, even if only barely. But over the next month or so, I want to keep this in front of us by looking to the book of Acts for what I call lessons for a stable church. What kind of healthy, missional DNA did the early church lay down for us to embrace? Healthy, missional, or stable? Mortgage or no mortgage, that question is in front of us. One way or the other, the future will tell us to the answer that we've made for that question. Remember today's passage. Through followers of Jesus, like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about, even among the angels. Are we to participate in that wisdom or not? That's the question in front of us. May we be among the churches who are revealing God's wisdom as we go forward in life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, gracious God, by your Spirit, we can sort through data and tables and charts and arrive at a place very simple to answer. Do we have a fire in our belly for being healthy and missional or not? Father, through your grace and with your help, we've begun that journey toward being more healthy and more missional. And we pray that your Spirit would ignite the fire in all of our bellies to continue in that process so that we can be every bit the church you call us to be. And we pray this through Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.